Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many of your film ideas as we like, but only one can progress through to the next stage, where we'll be popped into a little balloon and floated across American airspace, only to be shot down by a Hollywood exec desperately seeking their next manuscript. I'm Joel, a man who puts the hot air into hot air balloon, and across from me is John Harris, a man whose phobia of balloons has led him to avoid all children's parties he's been invited to since the birth of his young son, potentially creating a father-child rift that will never be repaired. Hello, John.
If you change balloons, I'll change my policy.
You just don't want them to pop? What is it? Is it the texture?
I don't actually have an issue with balloons, but I do know a lot of people who do. I think it's the fear of popping, right?
It's the popping, yeah.
Have it with the foil ones? Because the foil ones don't pop as much. Do they sort of fizzle.
They get really sad, don't they? They're so impressive to begin with, but they just fizzle out over time. I prefer like a one use. I mean, it's probably not great for the environment. Blow up, bang, next one, you know?
That's a good point. Balloons probably aren't generally good for the environment. Here we go. Important topics already covered.
Damn. Okay, well, look, we'll do our bit, John. We won't buy any balloons for Dream Factory's fifth birthday party coming up soon.
I was away for the weekend with my family and I haven't paid anywhere near enough attention to this Chinese balloon that's floated over America.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, John. I've just seen the words Chinese spy balloon and that's what formed the basis of the introduction. I don't know how, if it's serious. It's too playful, I think.
A balloon is too
It's to take too seriously. It's too playful, isn't it? A balloon, and I've always said this, a balloon can't be a genuine threat to national security.
What are they going to do next? Send in spy clowns?
It was a spy balloon animal.
I'd love it if China's method of sort of getting into countries was via circus acts.
The big top. It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. Hey, people aren't here for brainstorming the best way that China can threaten the West. They're here for fake movie ideas, John. What have you got for me?
Should we start off with this? This all comes from What the Flick podcast, which is funny because if you think about it, the L and the I together.
Whoa, if you capitalize those letters.
We're in trouble here.
You're getting real trouble.
So I sort of tongue-in-cheek requested that people, they get the DCU slate and turn the whole of it into Dream Factory-style film ideas. So James Gunn last week sort of announced the beginning of the DCU, which is his version of sort of the DC Comics universe, with 10 sort of projects. And so What the Flick have had a go at it all. So, right, they've called it DCU Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters, Inc. So all of the superheroes are either played by Michael Sully.
Perfect.
First, Superman Lego Sea of Thieves. So that's Superman Legacy. It's like Lego Batman, but Superman is a pirate now. Would watch.
Would 100% watch.
I don't know.
What happens to his laser eye vision if he's wearing an eye patch? Does the other eye become more powerful?
Or is it like a Cyclops thing where it actually just covers the laser and if you pull it up?
That's good.
So the second one is The Brave and the Bold, which is a Batman film. So The Brave and the Bulls, Elderly Justice League starts lawn bowling team.
Very, very good.
Because there's a thing called the Silver Pound, which I always feel is a bit, sort of feels a bit offensive. But the Silver Pound is this idea that actually old people going to the cinema is very sort of financially, you know,
Yeah, next week, the Exotic Marigold Hotel 9 comes out, doesn't
it? Exactly.
For that very reason.
They seem to be the only ones really cashing in on this, but Exotic Marigold Hotel is absolutely loving life. Supergirl, a woman called Otto. What's that called? The Woman of Tomorrow. So a woman called Otto. Supergirl is a grump with a heart of gold whose life's changed by an unexpected friendship with Zod. I don't know a woman called Otto.
That's your man, Tom Hanks. A Man Called Otto. It's where he's a grumpy man.
Okay.
It's the new big Tom Hanks film. I know it's difficult to imagine him as a grumpy man.
There's a group called The Authority. So they've gone with The Authorities, a group of violent high schoolers with superhero powers attempt to overthrow popular kids and get dates to prom. In the boys' universe, they're doing sort of a college for superheroes thing. So I'd imagine that's going to be doing that. Get out of my swamp thing, Shrek versus The Thing. Okay.
That's the best one. Look, of all the DCU films, I feel like I'm not that invested in superhero films anymore. I watched Wakanda Forever yesterday. We'll talk about that in the post credits of this show. I feel like I'm not super invested in superhero films anymore. So it was Swamp Thing that really, really got me quite excited. Because are they saying it's going to be like a horror kind of vibe?
Yeah, and it's based on the run by Alan Moore, which means if you know anything about comics, would mean Alan Moore will fucking hate it.
Oh, he's going to hate it so much. Do you reckon they even bother calling him?
No, I think at this point they just say, yeah, we're going to use your IP.
Sorry, Alan. Yeah, we're doing it again.
And the last two I just want to highlight from here. So there's one called Paradise Lost, which is going to be the Wonder Woman does Game of Thrones prequel. So they've gone with Death in Paradise Lost, quirky British detective solves crimes in hell. And there's one called Booster Gold, who is this like hapless comedy superhero who's very sort of popular with comic fans. So they've gone with Booster Goldeneye.
Very good. Very, very good. Do you like the idea of that your man from My Family solving crimes in hell? Because he's Death in Paradise, isn't he?
I think he could do that. Yeah. I think Death in Paradise is one of those, it's almost like Doctor Who insofar as sort of every series is a different comedy actor from the 90s. It's the new detective, but yes.
Well, that's the whole thing about it, right? The Death in Paradise team contacts a British comedy actor and say, do you want to spend 3 months in the Bahamas? And that's as far as the conversation goes.
Mm.
They say yes. Of course they say yes. So they line up, you know, one of the leads from 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps. They already know it's accepted. You know when they talk about writing the role for an actor?
Yeah.
With this, they're like, okay, next series, it's Nicholas Lyndhurst. We don't need to contact him. We'll just send him the plane tickets to the Bahamas and he'll come and do it. And then they have a lovely time solving brutal murders every week.
I'm fairly confident that that's...
And no one watches it and it goes out on telly and it just keeps happening. It probably costs an absolute fortune to make. There we go.
You think it's almost like a BBC sort of laundering scheme where they're just basically letting their best and worst go on holiday.
It happens in the Cayman Islands. That's where all the murders take place.
I know that Michael Caine, I'm going to get this story slightly wrong, so apologies, but it's Michael Caine was in like Jaws 4 or something. And apparently when they were like, oh, so what made you go for this role? And apparently he opened the script and it said, opened Hawaii. And he was like, yep, I'll do it.
I think he say that it like paid for his house or something. There's an Adam Sandler one. Like in an acceptance speech, he talks about like one of the crap films he's made. And I think he's giving the speech, it's from the perspective of his daughters. And there's a line in it, like they're slagging one of his films and he's like, and it paid for this fucking house. You know, I think there's a lot of that goes on. People always talk about it in the context of footballers and, you know, them not staying loyal to a team and moving on. But like for actors, it's a job as well, right? I bet sometimes the actor's like, ah, fuck it. It'll probably be a crap film, but I'm getting paid $1 million to make it. So
yeah, I'd imagine so.
That must happen, right?
I think particularly more so even back in the day, whereas I think now that everyone's so worried about their brand reputation, but I'd imagine, back in the day, you do one crap film in a run of sort of four classics, you're fine.
But do you think, you're like, same with adverts, like who's the actor that did that advert in China that Phil Wang did the video of, where he's eating, it's like an advert for vitamins.
Tom Hiddleston.
Do you think Tom Hiddleston does that and thinks, ah, no one's going to see this in the UK or America. I'll just make millions doing an ad for Centrum vitamins. But
oh,
now
yeah,
we're too like globalized for that to happen. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure.
It's an interesting thought, John.
Is George Clooney the face of Nespresso everywhere or is that just in Europe?
I think it's everywhere.
How much? Do you think he's made more money as the face of Nespresso than he has made as a film
fun
actor?
Fun fact, he's given away every penny that he's made for Nespresso to like humanitarian causes.
We've had this conversation before. We're having deja vu.
Clooney's made no money out of coffee, man. Clooney's, you know.
Well done, you're a good person.
Yeah, I know. It's too handsome to be doing things that good. How about this one from Elliot? Auto glass onion.
Yep, great. Love it.
So for our international listeners, or listeners that I guess, I don't know, is auto glass still a going concern? To me, it was enormous in the 90s because of the radio ad.
They had a real monopoly on radio advertising.
They wrote the perfect jingle. Auto glass repair, auto glass replace. Bang, straight in. So I don't know. I actually have no context for whether auto glass is. In my mind, it's like the biggest brand in England. It's like the UK's most successful company because they dominated the airwaves for so long. And, you know, commercial success is dictated by how good your slogan is. That's a direct link. So auto glass onion, I guess.
Benoit Blanc surely has a window broken in his car and then has to solve a crime whilst that he's getting his window replaced, right?
He's in like a quick fit or something. And a murder takes place.
Yeah.
A guy's underneath the car tinkering and it falls on him.
It looks like an accident.
And it looks like an accident. But Benoit Blanc's there and he's never been in the presence of an accident.
That is a line. That is a line that you could imagine being put in the script. I've never been in the presence of an accident.
So yeah, he has to solve a murder in a quick fit. And I'm not just talking about those bloody prices, John. How do you get on when you have to go and speak to a mechanic?
Oh, I never do. That's not even
what
happening.
What do you mean? You just pull up and run away?
I don't even drive, Joel. I have a license, but I don't drive. So don't have to.
Because you're that scared of speaking to a mechanic.
That's my main concern, is the mechanic interactions. We had, I was lucky enough to have some building work done recently. And yeah, when proper men who know what they're doing talk to you and like an electrician, you're going like, just so that I know when I hang things in the future, is the cabling going to go up or down and stuff? And they sort of manage to make you sound like a fucking idiot for asking a normal question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Fair play.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been stung a few times in a garage, so I would actually quite like Benoit Blanc there to put the record straight.
Oh, that's fun. There's a bit at the beginning where like someone in front of him in the queue and the mechanic's saying like, well, this is going to, you know, doing the big intake of breath and saying,
yeah,
we're going to have to do this.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I think you'll find.
Yes, I'm into it.
What about this one from Stu? Ratatouille. Ratatouille, but linguine is also a rat.
Rat.
Ratatouille. So that chef who has a rat in his hair is also a rat.
Right. So a really big one?
I hadn't really thought that through, yeah, because I couldn't take the weight of another human being on my head.
No. Mate, okay, yes. Or is it just a series of increasingly smaller animals?
Now
so
I
it's like
it.
A human. It's like a human with a chef dog on his head, who has a chef cat on his head, who has a chef rat on their head. And so on and so forth, until we get to like a single-celled chef amoeba who's Perfect. Running the whole thing.
I mean, the subject of this film and an alternate title for it makes me think of one of the best running gags in the film, Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I don't want to spoil for the few people who haven't seen that movie.
Absolutely brilliant. So good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it could be fun. Go through the whole zoo. But by the end of it, that elephant at the bottom of that tower of chefs is going to be exhausted.
Yeah, sure, it will. But I think... sort of buoyed by the fact it's the most revered chef on planet Earth. And a trunk's a pretty handy utensil in the kitchen.
Is that the elephant's only got one thing to chop and do stuff with. He's not got two
tusks.
He's grilling kebabs off his own tusks.
He's grilling kebabs off his own tusks, you know, fanning the flames with his trunk. It's perfect.
An elephant would make an amazing barbecue.
If we take that clip out of context, it sort of sounds like you're advocating to eat rare and exotic animals.
Don't knock it till you tried it. Do knock it before you've tried it.
Yeah. Don't eat elephants. I think if you take anything away from this podcast episode...
Please don't eat elephants. Has anyone... is that like... You know Darwin, famously, as well as sort of like discovering...
Are you about to say, has anyone ever eaten an elephant?
Yeah. It must
That's
be,
a
right?
really good question.
Because Darwin...
Yeah, well, we were eating woolly mammoths, right? Well, you and I weren't.
No.
But do people eat elephants?
Because Darwin's obviously, his legacy is the whole evolution thing. But actually, one of the famous things about him is he wanted to eat every single animal. He was trying his best to see if he could eat every animal.
I mean, good luck to him. Yes, people do eat elephant meat.
Has anyone got a sort of the, is there any sort of description, any comparison?
What does elephant meat taste like?
You're going on a list.
I'm on a Google watch list. I'm on a watch list. It's been described as unpleasant and peculiar.
Okay, fine. What about this one from Nathan, Geppetto superstar?
Nice.
So it's Geppetto's Pinocchio's creator, right?
Dad, yeah.
And we're playing on Ghetto Superstar, right? So is he rapping? Is it a rap musical about Pinocchio? I would watch that.
I'd watch it. We're due another Pinocchio remake, so let's get it made.
In every sort
You'd be gutted if you were the bloke out there now trying to get your hip-hop Pinocchio film financed. It's a nightmare because the Pinocchio Film Fund has never been lower. They've given up. They've paid so much out in the last few years to two film versions and a video game with the story of Pinocchio. And you've spent maybe a decade perfecting your, you know, Hamilton meets Pinocchio script that you're so pleased with. And you're now shopping it around and they're just saying it's going to be 50 years before you get this made. There's just there is not going to be demand for any more Pinocchio media until the year 2070. That's my prediction. We're literally at peak Pinocchio
peak
right now.
Peak Pinocchio. Here we go. Yeah, I think it's over. And do you know how many of the Pinocchios I've consumed as of yet?
I reckon it's the same as me.
Zero.
It's zero. John, why is your nose growing as you say that? You've watched all of them.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How about this one from Tony, Bungle Cruise. Disney's Jungle Cruise, but Bungle from Rainbow is the captain of the ship.
So Bungle, correct me if I'm wrong, is before our time.
Yeah.
It's
ahead of our time. Bungle was a futuristic spaceman from the 70s. Bungle, it's Bungle and Zippy. I think Bungle's the hippo.
Bear. Oh yeah, bear. No, you're right. I think he is a big hippo character, isn't he?
Have people ever eaten Bungle meat? Is my next Google
what
search.
What does Bungle taste like?
Was there a Jungle Cruise film? Did it ever happen?
Yeah.
It's got Jake Whitehall in it. Bungle Jake Whitehall? What am I talking about? It's got Jack Whitehall in it.
And it's got The Rock and it's got someone else.
And that came out. That exists.
Yeah. It's a film that exists.
That might have the smallest cultural imprint of anything Disney have ever released.
I believe that it wasn't assisted by the fact that I think it sort of was one of the pandemic movies that they rushed onto streaming pretty quickly because people weren't going to the cinema. But yeah, I would say The Rock is having a bad time. Our King, the mascot of this podcast, is sort of having a poor time when it comes to franchises, apart from Jumanji.
Has The Rock lost it? Is it a case that only one wrestling superstar can exist at any one time and Dave Bautista has taken the crown?
But Bautista's sort of like, not art house, but he's like an actor's actor rather than a superstar.
True, very true.
Yes, but I say,
you think The Rock's lost the... I say it quietly, man, because I feel like he could crush your head with his, you know, thumb and forefinger. But
I think if you invested in The Rock a few years ago, your stocks would be...
You should have cashed out a few years back, yeah.
Yes, but if you invest now, you might be onto a winner. So what I'm saying is move all of your stocks into The Rock right now because you never know. He might have a good 2024.
I'm going to read out some upcoming projects and you're going to cash out those shares quicker than you can say Jumanji 3. San Andreas 2, which is outrageous that's been made. The disaster movie San Andreas that no one's seen that I reckon probably came out...
Oh, it came out...
14 years ago?
No, it came out about 9 years ago or something. I went with... me and a mutual friend of ours...
8 years ago.
Went to the premiere at Leicester Square.
That's really fun. Well, hopefully you get invited back for the sequel. Jungle Cruise 2.
Crikey, sequels.
Untitled Red Notice sequel. I don't know what that is, but he's in the sequel.
He is working on a film. He's working on a Christmas film right now with the guy from Whiplash playing Santa for Netflix. A big Christmas movie.
Oh, man. I think you might be right. I think The Rock's floundering. There's some sort of superhero movie called Doc Savage.
What? I think The Rock put all of his chips in the Black Adam basket, and that has worked out badly for him.
It's worked out really badly. It's bad news.
Right. I think we need to stop analyzing The Rock's career and do another pun-based movie idea.
Okay. Here's one from me. No. Here's one from Theo via me. I'm saying it, is what I'm trying to say.
You're the conduit.
Tarpaulin, which is a pun on the Cate Blanchett film, Tar.
I think it's just Tar, isn't it? I know it's got an accent on the A, which always throws you.
It scares me. Tarpaulin.
Right. So, have you seen it, Tar? Are we both ignorant?
No.
Fine. So I know that she's playing like a conductor, a big conductor. So what would, like, is she like an experimental musician now who's working with Tarpaulin to make sounds?
That's good. She becomes a hit tarpauling artist. I like that.
A hit tarpauling artist. What? In the world of tarpauling music, how many streams do you need to be getting to be a hit in that world?
Well, ironically, tarpauling and streams go hand in hand because it is a waterproof material.
Very true.
I think she performs exclusively in streams, and that's where you go and see her concerts. It feels like something Bjork might do. Like, Bjork's next album is all recorded on tarpaulin on various bodies of water.
It sounds pretty great. Do you own any tarpaulin? If I was like, Joel, I need some tarp, how long would it take?
No, but I've got relatives that can get you some tarpaulin pretty quick. Don't worry about that.
I feel like...
When I was a kid, I really wanted a pond.
Oh, yeah.
And at my nan and granddad's house, in like a hidden section of the garden, I dug a really big hole and lined it with tarpaulin and then started filling it up with a hose, thinking that constituted a pond. But there's loads more to it than that, John.
I think for a kid to have gone through that, I'm not disrespecting your lack of knowledge past that point, because I think that if someone asked me sight unseen, I would do some research now. But if someone asked me sight unseen, what's the easiest way to quickly make a pond? I would have thought that's it. Just do those three.
Someone ran up to you in the street and said, quick, what's the easiest and quickest way to make a pond? Just come with me.
We were talking about sort of, you know, car mechanics and builders and stuff. I feel like you're a real man if you have tarpaulin to hand.
If you're, I thought you were going to say the three manliest men that I'm afraid to talk to are mechanics, electricians, and Alan Titchmarsh. Hey, John, should we do our own movie
ideas?
Yes,
please.
Here's one from me. Garfield of Dreams.
Perfect.
When a farmer in Iowa, played by Kevin Costner, hears a mysterious voice one night in his sleep saying, if you cook lasagna, he will come. He feels the need to act. Despite being called a lunatic, he builds a lasagna the size of Wembley Stadium in the hopes of luring everyone's favourite orange cat.
Oh, and there's a lovely reference to that weird meme that went around at the beginning of the lockdown.
Well, there we go.
What about this one from me? Beauty and the Beast. He cures her blindness. She cures his loneliness. Oh, I said Beauty and the Beast, didn't I? Missed the whole thing.
No idea what the poem was. Say it again.
It's obviously Beauty and the Mr. Beast, isn't it?
Beauty and the Mr. Beast.
Oh,
well
God.
Done.
We're not re-recording that. That's how it goes out to the world. I'm so sorry.
I sort of looked at John to be like, come on, where's the next bit?
It was about Mr. Beast and his...
Mr. Beast. That's really good. It's really good. Beauty and Mr. Beast. That's really nice.
Yeah. And like,
well done.
All the posters are like those YouTube sort of icons where they're like, doing weird faces. I would love it if people started doing movie posters in the style of YouTube thumbnails.
That's a great idea. If we can be asked, we'll do it. Some great ideas this week, John. I don't know if you can
hurry up
and pick a favourite, because The Rock's coming and he's he's pretty unhappy about how we've kind of thrown him in the mud for the next 3 years.
I think we give it
to
What the Flick, because they came up, they sent us 10 ideas.
Hey, and go and listen to What the Flick podcast once you've listened to every single episode of Dream Factory 10 times. Cheers, guys. Hey, well done, John.
Hello, Monday.
I liked those things you said. Have you got any culture stories? Have you experienced anything? The Last of Us continues to be brilliant. I cried last week.
I feel like we sort of went through quite a lot last week. Black Panther Wakanda Forever is on Disney Plus as of last Wednesday, so
I watched it. It's boring. Okay.
It is.
Great review.
It feels like it goes on for fucking ever. It's so long. There's so much chatting in it. I don't know what I want, John, because I hate when there's too much action in those
exactly.
films. What do I want?
Every time there's an action sequence, I'm like, okay, should I make a tea?
Give me some more chat. And then they're chatting about like some herb, and I think, oh, just punch each other. I don't know what I want. You're so right. The action starts. I'm like, oh, here we go. More of the same. Why can't we just have some interesting, ideas in this? They try and present an interesting idea. I think, oh, for fuck's sake, show me the big spears again. I don't know what I want.
What about I'm Not a Monster Series 2? The BBC podcast is about Shemima Begman.
I've heard it's good. I'm going to listen.
I'm enjoying it. If enjoying is the right word for that. But yeah, no, it's really good. But yeah, we did a lot. And I've bought, do you know, so James Gunn put out his plan for the DCU for the next 10 years, or at least some of the main pillars. And as a result, I bought a few comics off the back of it.
Nice, because they're all selling out.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's really nice that that's happening. It's weird. I've never sort of invested in Marvel. I've got a few Marvel comics, but I've never been
too.
I like the MCU. I'm going to get into the comics. But for some reason for this, I've decided, I've got like an issue, like one of the Authority, and I've got the Supergirl one.
Maybe because it feels like you're getting it on the ground floor.
I think that's what it is. But yeah, like you say, it's really cool that like there's a lot of stuff in the world of Marvel where people have criticized them for they're basically not remunerating their comics creators enough for the IP that they effectively took a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, frame for frame, they nick it from the comics.
Yeah.
I don't know how, what the James Gunn deal is, but at least if all these comics are selling out, it means that they are getting some extra money from it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Well done, them. Well done, you, John.
And well done, you, Joel.
And well done, you, the listener, for making it this far.
Joel was stood up. Did you think he had a stand-up energy from his performance today? Let us know. Did he sound stood up?
Did I sound stood up? And next week, we're going to let you try and guess the position I'm in while I'm recording. So look forward to that next Tuesday. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.